Man, I'm so excited to be with you guys this morning. Are you guys ready for the word? Yeah. Awesome. Well, it is a special day because it is Pentecost Sunday. And because it's Pentecost Sunday, we're going to go right to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, if you have your Bible, the book of Acts chapter 16. And before I read to you this scripture, I want to tell you who I'm talking to today. I want to talk to the individuals in the room who might find themselves in a crossroads. To some individuals who might have some really big decisions that you're trying to make right now. Or maybe I'm just going to speak to the graduates who just graduated. Do I got the graduates in the house, both college and high school? Where you're seeking the Lord on your next step. What do I do next? That's who I want to talk to today. It's a wide group, right? We're all in a life of following the spirit of what it is that we are to do. So, Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I just want to take a few moments this morning and talk to you from this subject title, Door Discernment. Door Discernment. And when I say door, what I'm talking about is doors of opportunity. Doors of opportunity. See, I want to talk about the doors that we all walk through in fulfilling our destiny. Everybody say destiny. We all have a destiny, and there's many doors we will walk through in fulfilling that. See, in this life, you will have doors, plural. Meaning, it's not just one door that you walk through to fulfill your destiny, but rather a series of doors. It's a series of decisions that you will make. It is a series of options that you will have. I want to define what a door of opportunity is. A door of opportunity is a chance. It's a chance to progress or advance in a particular endeavor. Now, we are all in this room on a particular endeavor to fulfill and complete the call and purpose of God on our life. And a door of opportunity is saying this is a chance for you to progress and advance in that very endeavor. I also love it symbolizes an entry point or gateway to new possibilities, experiences, or achievements. How many of you would like some new possibilities? It was a couple weeks ago I was praying, and I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly, and he said this, that we are in an open door season in the body of Christ. He said, we are in an open door season. What does that mean? God is right now opening up doors to place specific individuals in certain rooms so they can be his voice and his mouthpiece in the earth. God right now is positioning and placing people in the body of Christ so he can do what he's been wanting to do in arenas and areas around the globe. This is an open door season. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's an open door season. And when it's an open door season, there is two things that is required. Number one is decisiveness. And number two is action. Number one, decisiveness, the ability to decide. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and a house divided amongst itself, it cannot stand. Many of the destruction that we find ourselves in our life is a result of our inability to decide. See, in an open door season, we got to be able to, when the door opens, to not be double-minded, but to decide. And then also to take action. Just because a door opens doesn't mean it's going to stay open. And I've also heard this before, that the opportunity of a lifetime is seized in the lifetime of that opportunity. So the question that I want to help answer is, where do doors of opportunity come from? Where do doors of opportunity come from? You need to know this, that you do not create your own doors of opportunity. Doors of opportunity will come to you. And in this day and age, there is a lot of people creating their own doors of opportunity. They are inviting themselves to speak in certain pulpits. They are creating their own social media ministries. I'm telling you what, there are so many social media ministries out there. And there, a problem is that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, there's some underdeveloped character that is behind some of these individuals who have massive influence in the body of Christ. And rather than benefiting the image or helping the image of Christ, they're doing damage to the image of Christ because their character is not developed. So we do not open or create our own doors of opportunity. I could go out through the entire Bible and show you that it was always God who opened the door. If it was a God deal, God was always the one who opened the door. Proverbs 18:16 in the Christian Standard Bible says this, "A person's gift opens doors for him and brings him before the great." So what not only draws doors, but opens the door. It's your gift. It's your God-given gift. I want to say this. If you're lacking options, if you're lacking doors of opportunity in your life, if you feel like you're in a room and there's no doors and there are no windows, it's simply because you're not exercising your gift. Because let me tell you, church, if you are exercising your gift, your God-given gift, it will draw doors of opportunity because God needs that God-given gift in certain arenas, certain businesses, certain families. God needs your gift in operation today. So the question is are you using it? Because we all have one. We all have many. The Bible says that gifts and callings are irrevocable. They can't be taken from you. You'll always have them. The question is are you using it? Amen. See, because when you're using it, opportunities are going to come. There's this axiom, is just a statement proven to be true through experience, that the more gifted you are, the more opportunities you will have. The more opportunities that you have, the more discernment you will need. I want to say that one more time. The more gifted you are, the more opportunities you will have. The more opportunities that you have, the more discernment you will need. And why do we need discernment? Because there's two different types of doors. There's good doors and there's God doors. The problem is they seem the same, but are majorly different. I want to tell you, church, not everything that is good is God. I need to say it again. Not everything that is good is God. You need to understand something about how our enemy works. The devil is not a creator. He does not create. He only perverts that which God has already created. So when God is opening up doors for his kingdom to advance, the devil's like, that's a really good idea. I'm going to pervert that, and I as well will open up doors that look like God, but are not God, to advance my kingdom. You need to know this. When we're in an open door season where God's opening doors, so is the enemy. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." I want to say it like this. There is a door that seems right, but when walked through brings destruction. Church, the devil is not going to present to you an ugly door. He's not going to present to you an unattractive door. No, a matter of fact, it's going to be good, because you will remember when the devil came to Eve in the book of Genesis with an opportunity. Let's look at it in verse 6 in chapter 3. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate." So the doors of the devil are going to look good, pleasurable, desirable. Watch how he's working through your desires. James 1:15 so clearly states that when your evil desires have been conceived, they'll give birth to sin. And so he's going to work through things that are attractive, things that look good, things that look pleasurable and desirable. See, diabolical destruction. Diabolical just means devil-like. Diabolical destruction comes disguised as good opportunities. This is called a trap door. Everybody say trap door. A trap door is destruction disguised as a good opportunity. It's an opportunity that is appealing initially, but destructive eventually. It's an opportunity that looks like a come up, but in actuality, it's a setup for a setback. And I'm teaching on this because my heart is grieved when I watch individuals fall into the trap of the enemy, because it looks like a good opportunity for them to advance, and they find out that it was a setup and they got set backwards. I'm telling you what, you got to come to a point where you're so tired of being set back in the will and the purpose of God that you start saying things like, "Man, if God's not in it, I don't want it." You will remember Moses, he's been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years with a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, people that didn't want to listen, and he finally gets to the land that God had promised, and it looked good, man. "I've been out in this desert, I've been out in this wilderness, this looks good." But he takes a moment and he says, "If your presence isn't there, I'm not going." Moses knew that, "I want God with me. I'd rather have God with me in a desert than not have God in a promised land." And so we need to start asking more questions when opportunities come, not who are you, but who sent you? Because if God did not send you, well, then return to sender, because I don't want nothing to do with it. So then, how do we make sure we are choosing God doors and not good doors? Well, God has given us his Spirit, and from the Spirit comes discernment. Discernment. I want to define this for a moment. Biblical discernment is the God-given ability. God-given ability to assess the true nature of an individual or opportunity to govern yourself accordingly. Meaning, I got something right here that I can look at an individual And I can look at an opportunity and I can know its true nature. Where did you come from and why are you here? I also love this definition, that it is a spiritual characteristic of sound judgment for perceiving the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error, and identifying God's will and direction for his people. See, another thing that is so disheartening is when you see people sitting in services listening to things that sound good, that tickle their ears, and because it sounds good and it tickles their ears, they take it hook, line, and sinker, not realizing that the devil just tweaked the doctrine, and now you are putting your faith on something that is going to bring you into destruction. And people take it hook, line, and sink because they're not using discernment, because discernment is knowing whether it's truth or error. Right from wrong. I always say this too, that discernment is not just right from wrong, it's right from almost right. You will realize that Saul, God brings him into new territory and he says, kill everything, every living thing. And Saul's like, I'm going to kill 75%. Because I think it's best, and then save the rest for a sacrifice. And God said, I'm done with you. Removes his anointing from him. My biggest fear in this life is not failure. I'll run at failure. I don't care. My biggest fear is to be successful in something that does not matter to God. Well, God will never let someone be successful in something that wasn't him. Nope. Nimrod in the Bible built a pretty incredible tower, and he united a people with such unity and such vision that God said, there's nothing they can't do, which means they were succeeding in something that did not matter to God. So here's the danger of not using discernment. The danger of not having discernment is we make decisions regarding doors with experiments. With experiments. Which means the only way I'm going to find out whether or not that's a God door or a good door is I got to walk through it. Well, the problem with that is that if it's a trap door and you walk through it, it's too late. I want you to write this down. Experimenting is expensive. Experimenting is expensive. I've heard this taught a lot, that experience is the best teacher. That is a cultural statement. It's not a kingdom statement. Because for some, experience is the most effective teacher, but it's not God's preferred teacher. Let me break it down. God doesn't want you to learn that the fire is hot by getting burnt. He wants you to trust and believe his word on the front side so you don't get burnt on the back side. Listen, I'm a good father. Okay, when I saw the light socket, I didn't say, well, I'm just going to let my son shove something in there so he'll learn by experience. Never did. No, I'm a good father. I'm going to be saying, Nash, don't ever put something in the light socket. And he has a choice whether or not he's going to trust my word on the front side, or he's going to get zapped on the backside. See, our kids wouldn't need spankings on the backside if they were obedient on the front side. Right? Sorry, am I old school? Is I still whoop? I'm just kidding. So experimenting is expensive and it'll cost you in three areas. And I wish I had time to teach on it, but I don't. So I'm just going to give them to you. Number one, experimenting will cost you time. It'll cost you your time. Number two, it'll cost you treasure, your finances. And lastly, it'll cause you trauma. You never would have had to go through what you went through if you just would have listened to the Holy Spirit on the front side. If you just had discernment and listened to the Holy Spirit on the front side, you wouldn't have had to go through all that trauma. You wouldn't have had to spend all that money. You ever just think how rich we'd be if we got all our dumb money back, you know? Like all the dumb money we spent, like if we got that back, how rich we would be. But then also time. It can waste time. But one thing I do want to encourage to you this morning is that God redeems time. And God will hold on to some things that he will bless you with right now that he wanted to bless you with 40 years ago. And in the process of that time, if you just realign yourself back to what is the last thing he asked you to do. But we will get to a point in our life where we cannot afford to not use discernment. Back to the text, let's look at what we can learn from Paul here in Acts chapter 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Look at Jesus stopping his own PR campaign. See, some would think God would want a preacher to preach anywhere, anytime, to anybody. But there is a difference between God wanting the gospel preached and God deciding who preaches it and where. Discernment is not just about using your gift. It's about when to use it, where to use it, and how to use it. Because you can use your gift at the wrong time, at the wrong place, and you can use it for the wrong reasons. Am I speaking to anybody? Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Paul could have absolutely preached in those areas, fully qualified. But it didn't mean that he should. And we know why he couldn't, because let's look at verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." See, Paul could have done it, but there was obviously something more important and more pressing on God's heart for Paul. See, if Paul wouldn't have listened to God, he would have missed his Macedonia and settled for a Bithynia. I want you to write this down. Some people miss their Macedonia and settle for a Bithynia. You could have had a God door, but instead you settled for a good one. You could have had an opportunity to be a blessing and receive a blessing, but instead you settled. Another thing we realize that Paul did was that he was willing to walk away from the wrong door even though the right one hadn't opened yet. He was willing to walk away from the wrong door even though the right door hadn't opened yet. This brings me to this word, desperation. One thing that will destroy discernment is desperation. Because, church, when you're desperate, every door looks like a good door. And when you're desperate for a position, every position looks like a good position. And if you're desperate for a relationship, every guy and every girl looks like a good one. But you could end up settling for a Bithynia when right around the corner God had a Macedonia. You know what I'm saying? So, desperation shows us something. Desperation is an indication of a scarcity mindset. Scarcity mindset is a belief. There is never enough of what one needs or wants, leading to the feeling of fear, lack, and competition. Desperation in this area is unhealthy and it's unbiblical. I'm going to say it. Competition does not belong in the body of Christ. We are not against each other. We are to be unified in the Spirit. We are supposed to follow the Spirit, encouraging each other. You got something that I don't. I need you there. I'll go here. And as we go where the Spirit leads us to go and we're where God wants us to be, then the gospel can get where it needed to be gone, okay? And we can wrap this whole thing up. But competition, insecurity. Someone sees someone who does something better than them, preaches better than them, and immediately they want to try to shut doors on them. See, because the last time I checked, we don't serve a God who's the God of not enough. We serve the God who's more than enough. This is an abundant mindset. An abundant mindset is a belief there is more than enough of what one needs or wants, leading to the feeling of gratitude, generosity, and opportunity. So, church, when it comes to following the Spirit and fulfilling our destiny, we need to reject a scarcity mindset and we need to embrace an abundant mindset. When I have an abundant mindset walking up on opportunities and I walk up to that opportunity and God says, that's not your door, that's not your opportunity. I don't get discouraged. I walk away. I'm like, that's all right. God will just open up another one, because the God I serve is a God who opens up doors. Our God is a God who will get you where he's been wanting to get you. Our God, listen, don't let any man manipulate you or control you thinking that they are the only ones that have the power to open up a door for you. Because the last time I checked, God will get you where he wants you. Amen. Job said, what can man do to me? Nothing can thwart the purpose of God for my life. Though Joseph, his entire integrity and his reputation was slandered for something he did not do, God still made sure that there were supernatural doors to open up to get him exactly where God had purposed for him to be. So I'm telling you what, God will get you where God wants you. I want to just share how I know this. When I was 17, I was at a summer camp my junior year. And the Spirit was moving and I went and sat in the back. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clear. It was the first instruction. I have it written down. It was his first instruction for me that I remember. He said, I don't want you to go back to public school. Now, it didn't mean not go and finish school. It just meant I don't want you to go back to public school. And I know why, because I was involved in the wrong crowd. And I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have. But the thing was, is that I was being looked at for full ride scholarships. I could run track. I could wrestle. And I wanted to so bad. But when he spoke that to me, he showed me that he said, I want you to serve at this church. And the church he showed me, it was a Rhema church. It was a Word of Faith church. And I've never heard of Rhema. I never heard of a Word of Faith church at all. And so I shut the doors of those scholarships. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. One of the hardest things. What's crazy, I started serving at this church. They started wanting me to speak. I started mowing the lawns, doing the stage design, all the video announcements, doing all the toilets and all those different things. Just started serving. And the next thing I know, they give me Rhema correspondence, and I start reading these books by this guy named Kenneth Hagin. And then all of a sudden, I was like, man, this guy knows something. And the next thing I know is I shut Believer's Authority, and God said, I want you to go to that school. That was my next instruction. I find myself at Rhema, learning under the Word here. Never knew I'd actually be back, actually being able to teach in the college. But I look back when I was 17 and I was willing to say no to the wrong doors, even though the right ones hadn't opened yet. Another, for instance, most of you might not know, I was a youth pastor in Iowa for 4 years before I even came here. I've been doing youth ministry for 8 years now. But there came a point, I woke up one morning and I got a coffee. And while I was making the coffee, I instantly knew as I put my mug against the Keurig that I was making my coffee somewhere else. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, you're on the edge and you're on the verge of a move. And I knew, I thought it was a move of God. So I started praying for a revival. I didn't realize it was an actual move. Well, then my grandfather, has been in ministry his whole life, and he had been talking with me about taking over his church. I could have had his church like that. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, it's not yours to take. And that was hard. It hurt my grandpa. My grandpa was like, I wanted to keep it with you. And I said, but it's not mine. And he said, I know. And they brought up a former youth pastor and he's doing a great job there. But then I knew that my in-laws were planning a church. And I was like, well, I could go and help them. I know change is here. I know I'm not supposed to, there's a move coming. I just don't know where it's coming. The Holy Spirit, he said, you're not to go there either. I felt just like Paul. Both doors shut. But then after I said no to both, I'm sitting there, I'm on a mower, mowing. I get a text, mowing at the church. Pastor Denise reached out to me and she said, I think you should fill out an application. I think that you would make a great fit as a youth pastor here at Rhema. And watch as I never created the door of opportunity, but the opportunity came to me and the light bulb went off on the inside and I was able to discern and I knew that's God. The other ones were good, but they weren't God. And I'm so honored and I'm so thankful that I get to be a small part of what God's doing here, because I didn't take good doors, but I took a God door. You'll want to end up where God wants you to be. I want to give you three things, and then I'm going to close really quickly. Three things that Paul had in this passage that helped him discern the doors. Number one, he had clarity of vision. A God vision is God, a picture of God's preferred future for your life. See, I didn't watch the whole movie, but I saw the trailer. I don't know everything that's going to happen, but I know enough that when this opportunity came, it doesn't line up with what I saw. So one question you need to ask yourself when doors of opportunity come is, does the door align with my vision? Does the door align with my vision? And if I can invite the keyboard to come up, or the whole band, if you would just come up. Number two, Paul had commitment of values. Commitment of values. If the door of opportunity that comes your way is going to cause you to go against God principles and God values, it is not a God door or opportunity. Meaning, if you got to throw someone under the bus, if you've got to climb on the backs of someone to make yourself look good or to create, you are creating your own opportunity. God would not have that. So the next question you need to ask yourself is, does this opportunity, does this door require a violation of my values? And not your values, godly values. Our desires should be his desires. Our values should be his values, right? And the last thing he had was a consciousness of the Spirit's voice. Guys, the Holy Spirit gives us promptings and impressions. Promptings and impressions. And when we are not obedient to those promptings and those impressions, we're doing something called quenching the Spirit. Just like in the backyard when the water's running through your hose and you go and you put a kink in it so the water can't flow no more. That's what happens when you quench the Spirit's voice. You're not allowing them to flow. Not that long ago, I was doing a hospital visit. There was a particular individual who could not speak for himself, but rather he wrote on a notepad everything he wanted to say. And I'm standing there, and I'd been visiting for several months. He'd been doing this. The doctors and the nurses, they came in, and they said, sir, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I immediately saw him grab the pen and the notepad, and he began to hurry and write. But before he could get it out, they just started doing what they wanted. And he rolled his eyes and threw up his hands. And I said, excuse me. I said, he was trying to talk. And you completely cut off his voice. And they said, oh, we're so sorry. So they waited while he wrote. And when I left that hospital visit, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, many people do that to me. They get impatient for me to tell them what to do and where they go, that they just proceed in what they wanted to do in the first place. And it grieves him. The Holy Spirit has emotions. You can grieve him. You can hurt him by quenching him when you silence and suffocate the most important voice that is supposed to be in your life. This last thing, church, I want to encourage you with. If you've made a decision with your senses before the Spirit of God prompts you, but then the Spirit prompts you, and what he prompts you with is inconsistent with the decision you made with your senses, you have a choice. Will you be loyal to an inferior decision at the risk of looking indecisive to your companions? Because you will know from the text, Paul said, let's go to Phrygia and Galatia. And they're like, let's go. And he said, wait, never mind. They're like, what, what? Okay, let's go to Mysia and then go into Bithynia. And they're like, let's go. And he said, wait, nope, never mind. Paul, what are you doing? But Paul didn't allow his ego to become an idol. And church, I say this with all the love in my heart. There is only one person that you will stand before one day that his opinion matters, that his thoughts matter. And one day we will all give an account for the calls and the gifts that are on our life. And he'll say, what'd you do? And he will not say, did you appease the people in your life? Did you do what they wanted? No, he'll say, did you do what I asked of you? We can't allow the fear of people to disrupt our decision making. We got to do what God's asking us to do in this hour, because guys, if you were at the graduation, Matt Beamer did an incredible job by saying, we got to get this gospel out. We got to be where God wants us to be so this thing can wrap up and we can be together with our bridegroom. Amen? Amen. Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I spoke to this congregation for just a few minutes. God, I ask today that we would all come before you with reverence and with honor. And Lord, that we would open our ears to hear and listen the instruction that you have given and are currently giving to us. God, I ask for an increase in discernment. I thank you that we will have that God-given ability to assess the true nature of every individual and opportunity so we can govern ourselves accordingly, so we can fulfill the destiny that you have for our life. Father, I thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Before we dismiss, we always give an opportunity for those who have not received Jesus as the Lord of their life. Maybe today you want to give your life to Jesus, or today maybe you just want to rededicate your life to him, or maybe you're in here and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost Sunday. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, this is your opportunity. So right now in this room, nobody's to be embarrassed. But if you'd like to give your life to Jesus, rededicate your life to Jesus, or be filled with the Holy Spirit, would you just boldly just raise your hand right where you're at? Right where you're at. You want to give your life to Jesus, rededicate your life to Jesus? Anybody? Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise God. I think we're amongst our own. Well, let's just pray, church. We got one over here. All right. Well, hey, can you just do something bold for me? Can you stand up and come down front really quick? Come on, give it up for her right now. Anybody else like to join? One more moment. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Well, I'm super proud of you. you made a huge decision today. Use discernment today. You made a God move today. The Bible says when someone comes forward and gives their life to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. All of heaven gets excited. And in just a moment, this whole room's going to get excited too. All right. So here's what I'm doing. I'm just going to pray for you really quick. All right. And then right after that, we're going to have Pastor Greg come, and he's going to take you to a place of prayer where you're going to get exactly what you came for and some books in your hand. Okay. That'll educate you in all this. All right. Congregation, can you stretch out your hands? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this young lady. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in her life, in and through her. God, I pray for your hand on her life, and that, Lord, she will step into all that you have planned for her, and she will accomplish it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you go with Pastor Greg, he'll get some things in your hands. Can we just give it up for her this morning? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You came to church today? Awesome. Well, hey, really quick, I'm going to have the connection team grab those first-time guests. And if our pastors would go ahead and head towards the doors. And we're going to sing one last song. And as soon as that song's done, you guys may be dismissed. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll see you tonight.